Well, it's just after 6:30 here on Classic Business. Time for the Budget Day panel, which is brought to you by the South African Institute of Professional Accountants, your business advisors of choice, keeping you abreast of all of the budget speech changes. And alongside some common interest topics, such as that 45% tax hike for high-income earners and relief in transfer duties for homes from 750,000 to 900,000, which is good news for the property market, we certainly had the headline of PG Pravin Gordhan's determined repetition of the word transformation to breathe life into the Sona address, which centered on radical economic transformation. It set expectations high, but it also had me scratching my head as to what exactly that word means and whether or not we're employing the correct fiscal policies to truly transform this economy, economically speaking. Well, to find out what the tax professionals think of the budget tonight, I've got around the table a bevy of experts. Billy Hubert, BEP specialist, that's base erosion and profit shifting, and a director of transfer pricing at Deloitte. Billy, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, nice to be here.
Next to you is Mohammed Salaji, managing director, tax and legal advisory at KPMG. Mohammed, welcome. I think the last time we chatted was all about mining, so it'll probably take a bit of a mining slant tonight.
I'll do my best. Thank you.
And next to you is Sibusiso Tunga, tax manager at Cyper. Sibu, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Mike, and good evening to you and your listeners at home.
And then on the line, our economists are Lesiba Motata, Chief Economist at Investment Solutions. Lesiba, we miss you in studio, but I'm sure it's been a busy day for you.
I know, yeah, I'm here, actually still at the Parliament, just also chatting and thinking about what has happened today. So yeah, one day I'll be in studio.
From a very sunny and very dry Cape Town. And also on the line is our consumer economist, Sipamandla Mkhwanazi, who's the general consumer economist at Standard Bank. Sipamandla, thanks for joining us. Or maybe not. Well, Billy, I'm going to ask you to kick us off tonight. You've been at this game for a fair old while. Your overall impressions of this budget, considering what the finance minister was faced with, a stagnant low-growth economy, these structural impediments, what did you make of it?
Well, I think the biggest news is definitely the increase in tax for higher earners and the fact that there's a new tax bracket that applies to people earning more than 1.5 million. And that tax rate of 45% is quite a massive step, actually. I mean, the ANC government has been cautious about ever increasing tax rates. So to go from a marginal rate of 41 to 45 is quite a drastic change, seen together with the increase in the withholding tax on dividends, which to some extent would affect many of the same people who have investment income. So that's gone up from 15% to 20%. As I said before we started on the show, I think it's perhaps helpful just to contextualize that by saying that it's not scaring off investors necessarily, because many of them would get DTA relief from that higher withholding tax on dividends.
DTA relief, double tax agreement.
Double tax agreement. So most, you know, South Africa has a very wide network of DTAs, so people from the UK or the US or any kind of mainstream country would not be affected by the 20%. So I think it was a balancing act between squeezing South African-based individuals harder and not scaring off foreign investors.
Mohammed, what was your overall impression of the budget delivered by the finance minister?
Michael, I think three sort of points. One, I think it's a very redistributive type of budget, clearly taking from the same pool of people in the main, your middle income bracket, and even though that might be a class of 100,000 odd people, there's a lot of folks that's earning income through the dividends, and really then just shifting that across the deck chairs in terms of the distribution. So very much a redistributive type of budget to start off with. Certainly for me, there's a number of missed chances here. We were, you know, there was a lot of talk around other taxes that could have been raised and increased the tax. There are some proposed amendments in the Annexure C's, which are very much constant of, I guess, principles and areas that they need some sort of refinement. So those are three broad, I think, opening gambits from my side.
Sibu, when you look at the budget and what was delivered, a very difficult, I don't think anyone, let's just preface this, I don't think anyone would have wanted to be in the finance minister's boots this afternoon. Very difficult to produce a budget in a low growth environment.
Yes, Michael, you're quite right. Maybe I can start on the lighter note. It was very interesting to see the support and to see the positive spirit that was actually shown in Parliament by all the opposition parties. And I think taking that into consideration, it showed that they had actually faith in the minister himself. Yes, now coming back to the budget itself, yes, I think my colleagues have touched on the fact that there have been an increase of the new introduction of 45% bracket, which is something that is fairly new. But also, I think it's something that has also been anticipated, because over the years, people what have been advocating for were actually the wealth taxes that are coming on. But what was very interesting as well is that in terms of, if you look at the dividend tax, which is ERA, and which personally I'm not really fully happy with that, on the basis that I felt like maybe they were a bit too harsh with that, moving from 15% to 20%. So basically these individuals would be sort of taxed twice, and that would have an impact on that. And I think it does affect, when you look at the middle class, it does affect in terms of the spending and the saving as well. And yes, our government is sort of advocating for saving, which certainly, if you look at what happened, there's a disconnect between that.
Well, and that, for me, I mean, if you just look at tax policy, when we want to tax, surely in South Africa, in our situation where we have a dearth of savings and investment, we should be focusing on taxing or focusing our tax on consumption, on the VAT, on the consumption side of the ledger, not the savings and investment side of the ledger. So there's a broader philosophical conversation to be had around that. Lesiba, from your perspective and vantage over at Parliament at the moment, and coming as an economist at this, I don't really see how this budget provides a real strategy or a formula for growth. And ultimately, every assumption boils down to us increasing growth in this economy so we can increase revenue, so we can continue to have this broadly redistributed
higher growth. So when I looked at the budget and the detail there, is the authorities are just really basing the economic outcome to market forces, and they haven't shown any structural reforms to make sure that they are directly involved in supporting the economy higher. Cyclical tailwind that is happening right now could assist even after these tax hikes. In other words, commodity prices are going up, and we're still seeing an impact that is coming through with lower inflation that will support household consumption expenditure. So these cyclical tailwinds could help, even if we're having higher taxes as expressed here. But broadly speaking, my impressions of the budget is that he had no choice. It's a very difficult construct. It is, remember, still the aftermath of 08. We're still struggling with that weak structural economic growth in the world. And under what they're doing now actually makes a lot of sense. However, there needs to be a new conversation that, yes, balancing the books is one thing, but we need to look forward in terms of long-term growth. And therein, I think we need to be focusing on more other issues, including business confidence. Business confidence is too weak, and when you look at its contribution in terms of how it has leached into lack of investment by the private sector in deep recession. We're talking 5 quarters of negative year-on-year contribution, or just destroying value in terms of growth from the private sector. That needs to be had in a different condition, in a different conversation. I appreciate that it's not one you can mix up in the context of when you're trying to balance the books.
Yeah, and back to my point about how do we stimulate savings and investment. Well, households are net dissavers in South Africa. The government is a net dissaver. It's got to borrow to fund the deficit. It's only the corporate sector that is sitting with vast quantities of capital on its balance sheets at the moment. And I don't see anything in this budget that would go any way to unlocking some 700 billion rand that's sitting on corporate balance sheets to invest in the economy for growth, to create new jobs, to increase revenue. I believe we've got Sipho Mandla on the line. Sipho Mandla, thanks for joining us. You're our consumer economist. From a consumer perspective, what do you read into this budget? Obviously, the fuel levy is going up, which is a fairly efficient tax, but that's going to be felt by consumers and businesses alike.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I hope you can hear me now.
I can, yes, loud and clear.
Okay, perfect. Okay, perfect. Yes, I expected that there was going to be a fuel levy increase. So it was just a question of the quantum now. So it's our view that that fuel levy increase affects more the low income consumer towards the middle income segments. That's because those are the consumers that allocate higher proportion of their income to expenditure in that. There was also, which was quite expected as well, sin taxes that have gone up, and we noticed that it was actually between about 8 and 9%. But back of the hand calculation for us, the pass through there is not going to be that much. So it's not going to be felt in terms of the final prices to the consumer. So at the moment, we see an increase in final prices to all.
Oh, I think we've lost Sipa Mandla. Are you back? But I think we've lost him. We'll have to get him on a better line there. Billy, before we go to a break, I just want to come back to your point about dividend withholding tax. Now, that increased from 15 to 20%. That's a 33% increase. That's a really big increase. What does that do to the effective rate for earnings distributed from companies in totality, in net?
Well, the stated reason in the budget speech was to avoid arbitrage because of the higher marginal income tax rate. So we've got a host of anti-avoidance rules like labor broker rules, which are there to do precisely that. But it does, as you indicate, have quite a knock-on effect on investors. So it would affect everybody. It doesn't just affect people directly invested into shares. It would affect, unit trusts or even pension funds. So it's an additional tax on everybody, and I think it's not particularly investor-friendly. It doesn't reward you for investments. So as earlier, it doesn't necessarily disincentivize foreign investors. But for South African investors, it's along the lines of what you were saying earlier. It's not punishing spending. It's rather punishing or penalizing investment.
And it takes that effective corporate tax rate from below 40 to above 40.
Yes. So it was stated that we were somewhat, low relative to world standards, the combined rate, the corporate tax rate plus the effective rate once you've taxed the dividend, and we've now gone up to over 40. And so it's not a massively high rate, but it's certainly, a climbing trend.
A climbing trend in an environment where we've seen the trend downwards in terms of corporate taxes, and we see countries and governments trying to attract HQ type regimes into their countries to get the benefits of that. So we do seem to be flowing against the global tide here.
Well, there's an acknowledgement of two things. Firstly, that our corporate tax rate is somewhat high. That's stated explicitly compared to OECD standards. And secondly, that the strategy that's being pursued in the short term of going after individuals and taxing them heavily is not sustainable in the long term either. So I think as the point that's been made quite a few times, it's a very difficult and economic and political environment for the finance minister. I think he's doing the best he can, and he had to make some very hard choices.
And there's been a bit of bracket creep as well, Mohammed. If you just look at the breakdown, so dividend withholding tax, if we look at how that 28 billion is actually constructed, that's around 6.8 billion from that alone. We then got that new top marginal income tax bracket, which is going to add 4.3 billion. By far and away, the biggest chunk is the 12.1 billion from not giving the sort of bracket creep adjustment that we tend to see. Now, for listeners out there, just explain what bracket creep is all about. We love to use all of this jargon, but what does that effectively mean? Mohammed?
Well, I think maybe just before we get there, I think what might be worth mentioning, Michael, is that effective tax rate does go up for corporates from 38.8 to 42.4%. I think as much as I think Billy says that it's really not going to affect foreign investors, I think the knock-on effect is that it's supposed to also encourage South African companies from deploying their funds as opposed to distributing them. So I don't think, I'm not sure whether that thinking ever came through or not in terms of the proposals. I think it was very much around the arbitrage, and I can see that. But there is potentially some benefit in corporate saying, well, we now need to, instead of distributing these profits and paying 20% ultimately, let's use these
to reinvest.
I think just coming to your question on how the breakup is made, what was in gets you to a staggering figure. I mean, it gets you to almost 58.9%, almost 59% of the increase in the additional 28 billion comes from personal income taxes. Now that's quite astounding when you think of it from a figure point of view. Certainly, I think the figures last year was that personal income taxes contributed to roughly around 35% of the total tax collection. This number is going to increase. I don't have that offhand. And again, it comes to that point that you're really taking from a small group of people and trying very much to try and redistribute it in a very, very challenging environment.
And I think that number actually puts that 12 billion into perfect context there. And one wonders, I've been saying it all week, how much longer the geese will continue to be plucked without hissing or perhaps starting to bite the finger that is plucking it or collectively them with. But we just have to take a quick break from this panel, which has been brought to you by SIPO. And when we return, I'd like to move along to you, Sabu, just to find out where the minister is going in terms of ensuring we build confidence in the ratings agencies, because I didn't pick up anything in great detail that gives me confidence that our state-owned enterprises are going to be more effectively managed into the future. You're listening to Classic Business.